bugle call of the covered wagon trains fades away among the echoes, another of the old ranger's true stories of Death Valley days is brought to you by the Pacific Coast Borax Company, producers of that famous family of products, 20 Mule Team Borax, 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips, and Boraxo. Well, here it is, almost the end of October, and that means Halloween. And since Halloween is founded on ancient superstitions and beliefs, I'd like to say just a few words about soap beliefs, beliefs which are fast becoming old-fashioned. You see, somewhere, somehow, the story got around that it was necessary to use special soaps for various types of washing. Special soaps for silk stockings and lingerie. Special soaps for dishes. Special soaps for the washing machine or tub. But fortunately for your budget, that story is only a myth, because 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips are one soap product for all washing needs. 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips are efficient enough for the heavy family wash in the pots and pans, yet gentle enough for fine woolens and babies' garments. 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips are more than just another soap. They're a special combination of fine white soap and pure borax. They bring you two brisk cleansers, more dirt-loosening action. And these flakes of sunshine also bring you rich, creamy, long-lasting suds. Fast-working suds that float away dirt and leave the clothes really clean and fresh and sweet-smelling. Prove to yourself that special soaps are a thing of the past. Get a package of 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips and put them to every washing test. We're sure you'll find 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips the perfect soap product for all your washing problems. Your grocer has 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips in the big blue and yellow sunshine box. Look for the famous 20 Mule Team trademark. And now, old ranger, are you all set for tonight's program?
Yes, Dresser. Everything is ready, so go right ahead with the introduction.
Friends, our Death Valley Days program tonight is something entirely different. We're going to present a preview of the three-day ceremonies which will take place this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to celebrate the opening of the new Mount Whitney-Death Valley Highway, a highway that will link the highest and the lowest points of the United States. We hope that many people listening in tonight will be able to attend this unusual celebration. But since there are thousands of people who will not be able to be present, the Old Ranger has prepared this special program. All set, Old Ranger. The show is yours.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to our radio preview of the Mount Whitney Death Valley Highway dedication program. The eyes of all California are turned toward this, its newest and most dramatic highway. The most unusual highway in all the world. Furnace Creek Inn is going to open several days ahead of time to accommodate the crowds of visitors who want to be present at the climax of the ceremonies in Death Valley. This new highway, as Dresser just told you, will connect the highest and the lowest points in the United States, Mount Whitney and Death Valley. Oddly enough, they're not so very far apart, less than 100 miles as the crow flies, and both in the same county, but separated by mountain ranges and a waste of desert. From a certain point in the Funeral Mountains, you can look up and look down and see them both. The snow-capped summit of Mount Whitney, 14,496 feet above the sea, and the floor of Death Valley, 279 feet below sea level. Daddy's View, they call it, a vision of heaven and hell. Now, with the completion of this new highway, the two will be brought together. Mountain and desert will be united. To symbolize this union, the waters of one will be carried to the waters of the other and there mingled. It's the dramatic journey and wedding of the waters that we now present to you. Near the summit of Mount Whitney lies Tula Inyo, the highest lake in America, 12,865 feet above the sea. Up to 75 years ago, no white man had ever feasted his eyes upon its loveliness. But the red man knew it long before. It belonged to him, this lake in the clouds. And so it is fitting that an Indian should be chosen as the one to dip the water from Tula Inyo next Friday afternoon and start it on its journey to Death Valley. And it's fitting, too, that an Indian should describe this part of the ceremony to you. My friends, let me present Lone Bear.
The sun has passed over the crest of the Sierras and begun its descent through the Pacific. On the western slopes of Mount Whitney, the snows sparkle whitely. But to the east already lie purple shadows as an Indian steps forth from the pines that rim Tula Inyo and approaches its shores. He is a runner. In his hand he carries a gourd. He stoops down, dips the gourd into the lake and brings it up full of crystal cold water, the highest water in America. He straightens up again, stands for a moment, then turns and disappears down the trail through the pines. The waters of Mount Whitney have started on their journey to Death Valley. The Indian runner descends swiftly, 11,000 feet, now only 10,000. The trail dips and turns. The pines grow more gigantic, more luxuriant. The evening winds make music through them, like the music of an organ. 9,000 feet. The trail enters a gorge between towering granite cliffs. There is the sound of a rushing mountain stream. It grows louder. The falls are near. Whitney Falls. Below the falls, a little lake. Beyond the lake, a clearing, a campground, Whitney Portal, and a highway.
Where the highway joins the trail, a white man waits to take the gourd from the hand of the runner, a Pony Express rider.
Whoa, steady there. Be on our way in a minute, kid. Ah, here comes the engine runner now. Welcome, friend.
My brother.
You bring the gourd?
It is here.
Good.
The waters of Tula Inyo have traveled to the end of the Indian trail. The red man's part is done. Let white man carry from here.
The Pony Express rider takes the gourd from the Indian. He tucks it safely away in one of his saddlebags. In the other bag goes mail bearing a special cancellation and cachet and dedication stamp showing an old offshoot. In one bow, a view of Mount Whitney, in the other, a view of Death Valley. Saddlebags are closed, the rider mounts, turns his pony's head eastward, and they're off!
Get up, kid! Get up there!
Down the mountain they race toward the little town of Lone Pine, 13 miles away. 13 miles of magnificent highway, a triumph of modern road engineering. It was built by the CCC boys, and they've come up from their camp down the canyon and are gathered at the side of the road to watch the Pony Express rider go by, galloping down the grades and around the curves that were built by their hands. Here they are. In the old Pony Express days, they have no highway to travel on, no roads to speak of. In many places, not even a trail to follow. Yet they never faltered, never failed. day and night, winter and summer, through driving rains, under blistering suns, over rivers and mountains and desert sands they rode. A gallant band, the Pony Express. We salute them. The steep slope of Mount Whitney is now behind us. On and down the Pony Express rider goes. Lone Pine is now in sight, nestled at the foot of the mountain. Ordinarily a quiet little village, but on next Friday it will be filled to overflowing. A brass band will be playing, and all eyes will be turned toward the west, where the new highway sweeps down from Mount Whitney.
Listen! The pony!
Here comes the pony!
Right up the band!
Goldwater will rest Friday night at Lone Pine. And about the only thing in the town that will rest, too. On Saturday, the Goldwater will continue on its way to Death Valley. An old prairie schooner drawn by yoke oxen will carry it from Lone Pine on the next stage of its journey. I'm going to ask Lois Austin to take up the description here. All right, Lois.
It's a thrilling sight, this great old covered wagon and its picturesque ox team lumbering slowly out of Lone Pine eastward. The driver dressed in blue jeans and wide-brimmed hat. And beside him, a woman in sunbonnet and calico. Some of those early day covered wagons crossed the very country that this wagon will travel over Saturday. Then it was a trackless waste. Today, every mile of the way is safe and easy. All honor to the 49ers who blaze the trails of the West for others to follow.
With my banjo on my knee. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me.
Once they reached California, the pioneers abandoned their covered wagons and turned to pack animals to take them on their search for gold to the motherlode country in the desert. And so the Goldwater, traveling from Mount Whitney to Death Valley, is handed from the covered wagon to a prospector.
Oh, there. You got the canteen for me?
It don't happen to be a canteen. It's a gourd. Here you are.
Thanks.
Take good care of it now.
You're telling a desert rat to take good care of water?
It ain't to drink, remember?
I know. It's be poured into the pool at the bottom of Death Valley. First time I'll bet that anybody ever throwed out good water in Death Valley on purpose.
Here's a pack of letters for you to take along with it.
Sure, I'm to be a postman, too, huh? All right, let's have them.
The stagecoach will pick them up from you further along the road.
Nice, Harry.
Well, so long.
So long. Get up, Tom. So long, Gary.
There they go, the prospector and his burros carrying the gourd of water on the next stage of its journey to Death Valley. The burro man, symbol of a vanishing race. A race of unsung heroes who did their part to make this country of ours richer in actual wealth by hundreds of millions. Whose patient footsteps led the way to hidden treasure in a wilderness that others had not dared to penetrate. Trails he used to tramp have become highways. Where once he pitched his lonely camp, towns have sprung up. The men who prospect the desert today no longer travel as he did on the hurricane deck of a jackass. They ride in automobiles, mail order prospectors, he calls them. He laughs. There's a tinge of sadness in his voice. But he knows, Burrow Man does, his day is over. His breed is dying out. To the few that remain,
and to the thousands that have passed on, our gratitude. The highway continues east. A few miles further on, a stagecoach waits, drawn up alongside the road. Chester, how about you taking over the next part of the story?
All right, old ranger. It's a real old-fashioned stagecoach, folks. Yes, and I'll bet it's seen plenty of travel in its day. Been held up and tipped over and had runaways and all the other adventures that stagecoaches used to have. The driver looks as if he might be the real thing, too. There's even an old Wells Fargo Express box on top, iron-bound and padlocked, and the shotgun messenger riding alongside. He's not guarding bullion this trip, though. Just the gourd of water from Mount Whitney and the sack of letters that have accumulated along the route. The stage draws up and transfers the gourd to a 20-mule team. And maybe that isn't a dramatic spectacle. 20 matched black mules stretched out along the highway, drawing two of the original wagons that used to haul borax out of Death Valley. The largest wagons ever built. Wheels 7 feet high. Why, they're like freight cars. And trailing behind them, one of the tanks that held the precious supply of water for the long journey across the Mojave Desert. It's amazing, old ranger, that these old wagons should still be in working condition after so many years.
What about the driver?
Oh, don't tell me that he's...
Yes, sir. He's an original 20-mule teamster. 75 years old, his last birthday, but still able to climb aboard one of the old wagons and handle the jerk line of the longest team in the world, Frank Tilton. Frank's made plenty of trips in and out of Death Valley before, but none like this. How about it, Frank?
Well, roads are sight better, but the mules, I can't see no difference from them.
They're not the original team, then, whose picture we see on the borax packages today.
Gosh, no. This team was assembled just for this special occasion. Well, I've got to be getting on. Get up there. Get up.
Settle forward into their coffers. The long chain stretches taut. As the great wagons move slowly toward Death Valley, we salute them. The men who brought the world one of the greatest treasures of the desert with the 20-mule team. 8 miles from the town of Keeler, the highway intersects an old narrow-gauge branch of the Southern Pacific Railway. Here, a special train is waiting. It was when the railroad came to the desert that the 20-mule team retired. The Iron Horse took over his work. So it's particularly fitting that the engineer of this train today should take the gourd of water from the hand of the 20-mule teamster and carry it on the next stage of its journey to Death Valley. There'll be a crowd in Keeler waiting to welcome the train at the end of its run, probably the biggest crowd this little place has ever known. With their brass band all lined up and ready, and here she comes.
crowd will remain at Keeler Saturday night while everybody in the town celebrates. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the water of Tulaino will continue on its journey, this time by automobile. Swiftly it will be carried from Keeler southeast past Owens Lake through the old mining camp of Darwin and on to the point where the actual dedication of the new highway is to take place. A brief religious ceremony occurs first.
I will lift up mine eyes unto you, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer by this.
Governor Frank F. Merriam of California now steps forward to dedicate the highway.
My friends, we are gathered here this morning to dedicate.
It's a mighty impressive sight, this crowd gathered out in the heart of the desert. I recognize a number of well-known people. There's Senator William G. McAdoo is standing with a group of government officials. The state, the county, and the National Park Service are all represented. I see Colonel White, superintendent of Death Valley National Monument, and Ray Goodwin and others of their staff. Yes, there's a crowd of CC boys present, too. Father Crowley is there, that remarkable priest whose parish includes the whole of Inyo County, 10,000 square miles, the largest parish in the United States. And as for desert rats, there are swarms of them. Grizzled old fellows with faded eyes and gnarled hands and faces like parchment, dressed in flannel shirts and nondescript hats and hobnail boots. This is a day they never thought they'd live to see, the day when
the last barrier between mountains and desert has been removed. The top and the bottom of the United States are joined together. My friends, we dedicate the Mount Whitney Death Valley Highway.
Now the governor steps back. The whole crowd moves back a bit. The last barricade across the highway is broken, and the new highway is officially open. And I'm going to let Lois Austin describe this part of the ceremony for you.
A young girl has stepped forward and is walking along the road toward the place where the barricade has just been broken. She is a descendant of some of California's earliest pioneers, the famous Donner Party. From the other direction, a young man has appeared. He's walking toward the girl. He, too, is a descendant of California pioneers. His grandfather was one of the famous Manly Party. The Donner Party. The Manly Party. The mountains took their toll of the one, the desert of the other. Today, those same mountains, that same desert, have been made safe for travel. The old dangers, the old barriers have been removed. The descendants of those gallant pioneers now meet and join hands.
Now the cavalcade proceeds over the new highway eastward to Panamint Valley, the gourd of water in the automobile that leads the procession. In Panamint Valley, a plane is waiting to receive it and carry it on the last stage of its journey.
Automobile procession continues on the highway to Death Valley to witness the final ceremony at Badwater. It passes the spot where the 49ers abandoned their wagons and burned them, where they carved their names on a rock that is still to be seen. The procession enters Death Valley, turns south past the old Harmony Borax Works, past Furnace Creek Ranch, and the inn. Down down till they reach the lowest point in the valley. The lowest point in the United States. Badwater. 279 feet below the level of the sea. As they approach the spot, there's the hum of an airplane to the west.
Over Telescope Peak in the Panamint appears the plane, bringing the water from Mount Whitney. It crosses the Panamint, the afternoon sun shining on its wing. It descends lower, lower. It's heading for Badwater. It's almost there. In just another second, it will reach the spot. Now! As it flies over, the gourd is dropped. Its journey is ended. The highest and the lowest waters in America are wet. Mount Whitney and Death Valley are linked henceforth forever. Mount Whitney Death Valley Highway Dedication. Presented for your entertainment by the Pacific Coast Borax Company, producers of that famous family of products, 20 Mule Team Borax, 20 Mule Team Borax Soap Chips, and Boraxo. If you're planning to see this new highway this weekend or later in the season, be sure to include a visit to Death Valley in your trip. For Death Valley is the ideal winter vacation land. Here the days are filled with warm sunshine, the nights cool and bracing, and what night! A sky full of silver stars, so large and bright that you can almost touch them. A giant desert moon that lights up the entire valley. At night or day, you can swim in the beautiful outdoor swimming pool at Furnace Creek Inn. You can play tennis on fast, roomy courts. Or golf on the nine-hole course over 2,800 yards long. Imagine playing golf in a desert below sea level on all grass, greens, and fairways. You can visit the famous mining towns the old ranger has told you about. Travel over the historic trails of the 49th. Or see the many strange and picturesque spots that have made Death Valley one of Uncle Sam's most interesting national monuments. You will enjoy a winter vacation in Death Valley. And you'll especially enjoy your stay at Furnace Creek Inn, a beautiful hotel located in the heart of the valley. And in addition to Furnace Creek Inn, the Pacific Coast Borax Company also owns and operates the Amargosa Hotel at Death Valley Junction and Furnace Creek Camp at Furnace Creek Ranch. Complete information about Death Valley, including hotel rates, mileage charts, photographs, and the colorful map is contained in an attractive folder that will be sent to you absolutely free. Just write to the Pacific Coast Borax Company, Wilmington, California, or this station. Remember, for your free Death Valley folder, write to the Pacific Coast Borax Company, Wilmington, California, or this station. And now about next Tuesday's story. The old ranger tells me it's going to be an exciting ghost story, full of chills and thrills. And in addition to the story, the old ranger is going to make an announcement of special interest to every woman, an announcement that you won't want to miss. So listen in next Tuesday evening at 9 o'clock.
The men and women of U.S. Borax hope you've enjoyed this encore presentation of our classic radio and television series, Death Valley Days. We're proud of our company's founding role in the rich history of these pioneering years and in the establishment of one of our nation's largest and most unique national parks. To learn more about Death Valley Days, Borax Today, and this fascinating part of the American West, we invite you to log on to deathvalleydays.com. Thank you for watching.